Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here. This is, of course, Eurofolk Radio and Voice of Christian Israel for August 12, 2018. What we have here is a failure to communicate because we're experiencing a continuation of our troubles getting our broadcaster to come through. And Bloodlines was unable to be broadcast this morning, but I am being heard now on Voice of Christian Israel. The haphazard nature of being able to get on the air is quite frustrating, but thank you for letting me know, Brother Hebert, that I'm coming through loud and clear. And I may have to switch internet servers. I've got AT&T right now. I may have to switch to Comcast. Something has to happen to get more stable connection ability. All right, so that'll probably be my last-ditch effort to have stable connectivity to the internet for live shows. Okay, so the EFR studio audience is telling me we are coming through loud and clear. Unfortunately, Pastor Martins was unable to do the show today. He is ill, and there's all kinds of things. I don't know. He says he's got a really bad headache such that he cannot keep his eyes open, so that there's no point in him trying. There was a wonderful case against Monsanto. A black man sued Monsanto for the after effects of their Roundup herbicide, which is making lots of people sick. And it's possible that, you know, this herbicide is in the food that Mr. Martins has been eating. It's probably in all your food, whether it's organic or not. We can't even trust the label organic on our food. Best thing you do is wash your food off tremendously before you cook it, and try to get it from certified growers who refuse to use chemicals on their and refuse to use GMO. Of course, Monsanto is a Jewish corporation. The Monsanto family made their millions in the slave trade, and now they continue enslaving us to their GMO products. I mean, these Jewish corporations are unbelievably evil. Unbelievably evil. We've got a real problem with these people. And it's something that we here at Eurofolk Radio have been bringing out to the people, namely the Jewish control of the deep state. The Jewish control of the deep state. Virtually no media organizations are willing to talk about the elephant in the middle of the room. For example, and of course, let me just quickly announce that my PayPal account at Anglo-Saxon Israel has been discontinued, so there's no possibility of using PayPal to purchase any of our products or to make donations. We will have to try other methods of getting funding from the internet. We'll do our best, and because they are silencing us. Just so you know, the alphabet soup of internet corporations. Let me give you the list right here. Google, Jewish co-founders, Larry Page, CEO, and Sergey Brin, president. Amazon founder, Jew, Jeff Bezos, a book banning and non-free speech executive. Apple, the late Jewish Steve Jobs and current CEO homosexual Tim Cook. Facebook, Jew Mark Zuckerberg. Microsoft, Jew Bill Gates and Paul Allen. I'm not sure if Allen is a Jew or not, but Bill Gates certainly is. So, folks, we are dealing with a Jewish onslaught against freedom of speech. They get away with these things because they own all these corporations, not to mention ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, etc., etc., and not to mention all of the biggest newspapers in the country and around the world. These are all owned by Jews. And this is a last-ditch effort to silence critics of the globalist Jewish agenda. But we're not going to be silenced. We are going to take it to them. All they're doing is riling the wrath of the awakened Saxon. That's all they're doing. And the day is coming when they will pay for all of their hateful, hateful anti-free speech philosophy and activities. Absolutely hateful. Excuse me one second. Okay. Absolutely hateful and bigoted, because a bigot is someone who refuses to allow other people to speak. A bigot is someone who allows other people to, does not allow other people to speak. So I'm going to, we're just going to have to take it to them harder and harder and harder. And this is what I have been advising Art Jones to do, is take it to them harder and harder and harder. Not slack off, not pussyfoot around, but give them both barrels. In every speech, in every article, we cannot let up. And this is the reason why they're censoring the internet. They're only censoring right-wing speech. They're only censoring patriotic speech. They're only censoring Christian speech. As you listeners know, Eurofolk Radio has taken the lead in exposing the illicit cooperation between Jews and Muslims throughout the centuries, and they're still doing it today. The Jews using Muslims to attack the West, to attack the Christian West. This is their specialty. This is their specialty. And we are here to give them both barrels, to give them both barrels. And all of those homosexuals out there who are spreading diseases, getting the soft shoe treatment, now we're going to give them a boot in the ass, because these people are unhygienic disease spreaders. That's what homosexuals are. That's the nicest thing I could say about them. But let me get back to last week's premise or a topic from last week, which is the Afrikaner as a fake South African. We were starting with this article. I'll put it back into the chat room really quick here, because actually last week we were unable to get on the air for part one. It was only accessible from the archives. So this is the first time it's actually listed here in the chat room. Afrikaner is a code word for Jew. Thank you very much. I'm going to drop down to the first highlighted phrase here in bold. In reality, there is no such nationality as Afrikaner. And as Pastor Martins has explained to us in great detail, the Boers are not Afrikaners, and the Afrikaners are not Boers. The Boer people are direct descendants of the European Germanic stock, who believe that they are the Israel of the Bible. The Afrikaners are the Cape Dutch, are the descendants of the Cape Dutch business. That is the East India Company, which has always been owned by Jews, and has created a systematic impersonation of the Boer people, which is called Afrikaner. As Pastor Martins has said many times, these people are not white, they're Edomites. Continuing, Afrikaner is a Jew-created semantical term used to divide and confuse all white Aryan folk in South Africa. Jews love to play the semantics game. They also love to play the impersonation game. They couldn't get away with the semantics game if they weren't also playing the impersonation game. a la my book, The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World. Since you can't use the internet to buy my book anymore, the only way to get it is to send it a donation by mail. It's still available for $37, but you have to send it to Post Office Box ANP, POB 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois 60641. Again, it's ANP, Post Office Box 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois 60641. Here is an article I came across which will tell you where the term Afrikaner originally came from. It came from the British / Yiddish Jews of Britain. So, Pastor Martens has proof. There's someone else now teaching. This is William de Hewitt. And this was posted October 4, 2015. As usual, white-looking crypto-Jews have adopted yet another word, which is used to cloak their Jewishness to blend, he says Jewiness, to blend in with white Aryan Boer folk of South Africa. Jews do this to infiltrate and use white folk who still foolishly identify as an Afrikaner and ultimately con them into destroying the Boer. If you are white but are not a white South African Boer, you are a white South African. You're definitely not an Afrikaner. Okay, so Afrikaner, he's saying, is a Jew or an Edomite or an affiliate of the Edomite. I've never met a white British South African call himself an Afrikaner. The Yiddish British call themselves Afrikaners. And here's a link to the British roots of Afrikaner designation. I'm going to switch to that article. You can follow along if you're reading along with me on Afrikaner as a code word. Then you can just click on the link, and I just went there. The British roots of Afrikaner designation. The term Afrikaner, as anyone studying its roots knows, is a political term that was first used to describe a political abstraction within a political context during the late 19th century, and was initiated by a Cape organization composed of Cape Dutch intellectuals and two individuals from Holland. As such, this term was significantly influenced by the British colonial power. The following are some quotes further outlining this fact. Now, as Pastor Martens has very eloquently stated here many times on Voice of Christian Israel, the Cape Dutch are imposters. They are not white Boers. They are, in fact, Edomites, and they have taken control of the Reformed churches in South Africa, just as the Jews have taken control of the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches here in America. They created the term Judeo-Christianity and have since proceeded to Judaize all of Christianity, with the sole exception of Christian identity. Quote, another point of grotesque confusion that we need to clear up is that Boers are not Afrikaners. None of your co-workers seem to have any understanding of this. All Boers are aware of the systemic subterfuge and distortion of identity that has been the result of the makings of the Bruderbund. The Bruderbund is, again, it's an Afrikaner organization pretending to be pro-Boer, when in fact it is anti-Boer. Bruderbund simply means brotherhood, brotherhood band or band of brotherhood, and the National Party, based upon the then image of the British imperialist gentleman. This artificial identity was meant to wean away the Boers from their strong identity, from their history, from their nationalism, and thus weaken them. Okay, so much for the right of self-determination. From Professor Dr. Tobias Loewe, open letter to the Institute for Security Studies, September 16, 2003. Quote, as a point of departure, it should be stated that Cape Afrikaners, upon encountering British occupation, possessed only a rudimentary collective consciousness. The process of collective consciousness formation among them took place largely, as we have seen, under the aegis of British rule. Generations of Afrikaners had been born as British subjects before this process matured in the 1870s in ethnic political mobilization. Well, what we have told you in previous episodes is that the Rothschilds deliberately created a migration movement from Britain to South Africa in order to politically overpower the Boer people. This was not an escape from injustice as the Boer were doing, because they were escaping from the injustices of false Christianity on the European continent, both Catholic and Protestant, and from the wars that were going on there. These British migrants were sent there by the Rothschilds simply to make cultural war against the Boer people. War by immigration. What do you see the Rothschilds doing to Europe now? With George Soros being the primary disperser of Rothschild funds to attack the white European nation states in wave upon wave upon wave of non-white immigration, to the point that Europe has become as much of a hellhole as South Africa, South Africa being the world's number one ranking rape and murder capital. And the cities of America, which are run by Democrats, just as big a hellhole as South Africa has become under black rule. And many of these Democratic cities in America are run by Jews and or blacks and or other non-white groups. I'm not going to use the term minority because we, white people, are becoming a minority in our own nations. And the whites of South Africa, real whites, not Cape Dutch Edomites, whether Boer or British or otherwise, they are actually a minority in the country they built, with waves upon waves upon waves of black immigrants coming from other black nations looking to South Africa to provide them with work. Which no black ruled country could ever provide them. So the vast majority of blacks living in South Africa migrated there from other African countries. The Boer people did not take those lands away from blacks. It's the Boer people who are the real indigenous people there, with the exception of maybe the Khoi people and the Xhosa people. The Zulu lived north of there and were actually engaged in systematic extermination of the Xhosa people until the Boers actually put an end to it. As the white migrants here in America put an end to much of the infighting among the Indians, who were really guilty of having intertribal warfare, scalping, murdering, and enslaving each other. Yet, the mainstream media never mentions that. So, continue. So, with all its contradictory ramifications, left a deep impression on their evolving collective consciousness. He's talking about the British that came in the wake of the Boer. Leaving the area, leaving the area behind, with, of course, a few Boers staying behind and maybe integrating with the British. The manifestations of loyalty by the Afrikaner bond served as a clear Afrikaner group identity. It may sound somewhat speculative, but the admiration and love for the Queen may suggest that she played a role in the formation of Cape Afrikaner group identity and consciousness. They seem to have adopted Queen Victoria as a collective mother figure, but they forget about the Jew, Disraeli, who was her prime minister and who is the father of British imperialism. Praising and congratulating the Queen on her birthday in 1890, the ZA, that's ZA South Africa, suggested that if a president were to replace the Queen, the centrifugal forces in the Cape would increase. Cape Afrikaners seem to have internalized their imperial monarchical experience. Beyond that, it was but the balance of the colonial experience which influenced their disposition. I would put it this way, folks, that the Rothschilds instigated this migration into South Africa to overthrow the Boer people. It's the Jews and their money and their thievery against the Boer people which is the true cause of the takeover and the dispossession of the Boer people from their gold, from their farmland, and from everything else that they ever had. And the Afrikaners were used as instigators and infiltrators to subvert the Boer nation. Quote, the Afrikaners. Thus, at the time of the ending of the Second Anglo-Boer War, there were three distinct ethnic groups amongst the broad white population of South Africa. One, the internationally recognized and indigenous Boer people. Two, the Cape Dutch settlers loyal to the British Empire. Now, why would the Cape Dutch be loyal to the British Empire? Because it's the British East India Corporation now. It began as the Dutch East India Corporation, and then it became the British East India Corporation. Cocaine, opium, smuggled goods, war. These are the exports of the British Empire. Three, the English-speaking white settlers also loyal to the British Empire. Well, you would expect them to be loyal to the British Empire because they are, you know, patriotic British, but they have no idea that their country has been ruled by Jews from behind the scenes since 1694 at the creation of the Bank of England, which was entirely a Jewish scam. That was 7.1. This is 7.2. The British Empire realized it had to bring the Boers under control once and for all, and therefore it devised a plan to neutralize the Boer republics, a plan to make them join up with the other two white segments of their colonies in South Africa. All right. The Cape Dutch are Edomites. And there are many Edomites among the British, the Cape British. So they're not referred to as the Cape British, but that's what they are. They're the Cape British. So we have the Cape Dutch and the Cape British, both of which are loyal to Jewish banksters. 7.3, the British masters of Southern Africa therefore engineered the National Convention of 1908, which saw the creation of the Union of South Africa, therefore balkanizing these three political entities. Right of self-determination, anybody? It is never given to white people. Never. Once the Jews take control of a given country, white people have their right to self-determination taken away. This union consisted of the former Cape Colony, the Natal Colony, and the two former Boer Republics. This union was not merely a geographic convenience, but a deliberate plan to try and destroy the independence-minded Boers by mingling them with the Cape Dutch and English settlers. I think I just created a new expression, the Cape British. The Cape Dutch and the Cape British, because they're both infested with Edomites. So what we were seeing, Europe is now being infested in the exactly same way. America is being infested in exactly the same way. The Jews themselves are pretend Israelites. The impersonation goes back all the way to the Pharisees. Although the Christian world did not accept their claim until the Schofield Reference Bible began to be circulated among the how should I put it, kept congregations of Judeo-Christianity. It was the ramp up to Zionism. That's what the Schofield Reference Bible is all about, to make Christians believe that the Jews are Israel and that we should support their Zionist imperialism. And Christians have followed suit. Folks, we are living in the most deceitful, corrupt period of human history. As David James pointed out in his show previous to this, that the tactics of Antifa and Black Lives Matter are identical to the tactics of Sodom and Gomorrah. If there's someone they don't like, they simply invade their home and set it on fire. Has anything changed in the last 5,000 years? I don't think so, folks. The inhabitants, the evil inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, are just like the Cape Dutch and the Cape British and Antifa and Black Lives Matter. That's all those people is good for, is destruction. That's all they know how to do, is to destroy and to conspire and connive. By the way, the big hullabaloo about InfoWars finally being taken down, although not entirely. I believe they still have a presence on the internet, but I think a lot of this is just show, because we know that Alex Jones has been a gatekeeper, that is a shill for the Jews. He still never brings up the Jews, and anybody who tries to talk about it on his shows has been conveniently shut down. And he was married to a Jewess and had two or three children by her, and he married again another Jewess. So this shows you his actual loyalty. But the fact is that he tells just enough truth to put fear in the hearts of Mark Zuckerberg. I forget what his real first name is. Z Mr. Zuckerberg, the Jew who controls the internet, and the Jews who control just about everything else in our society economically, that he's going to have to tone down. So you're going to have a kinder, gentler version of Alex Jones. Even though, well, the fact is, he has awakened a lot of people to conspiracies. There's no doubt about that. But his modus operandi was actually to make conspiracy theorists look like loudmouth, crazy hacks. Despite his presentation of the facts, the message was getting through, and now that message is beginning to alarm the Jews in high places, the Oberjuden. The Oberjuden are getting nervous thanks to the internet and thanks to social media. There's nothing they can do to stop this great awakening, and every attempt to censor our speech is going to backfire in their faces, because it proves that we are right about them, that they hate freedom of speech, that they are a conspiratorial cabal. And white genocide is their goal. It cannot be ignored any longer. White genocide and the protocols are identical. So even though he never mentioned the Jew in his shows, just like Joe McCarthy, even though Joe McCarthy never mentioned the Jew in his revelations about communist infiltration of the military and the State Department, he was getting too close. Way too close. So he had to be eliminated. First they censured him, and then they murdered him. Now they're not going to murder Alex Jones, because he's still one of their assets. I expect him to just tone it down a bit. Okay? All right. 7.5. Oh, actually, I think 7.4. It is worth noting that the British Empire used their technique in other parts of Africa as well. Reference can be made to the short-lived federation of the Nyasaland, Malawi, Northern Rhodesia, Zambia, and Southern Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, to name but one. The prime representative of British Empire in South Africa, Sir Alfred Milner, put it this way, quote, "The new tactic to subjugate the Boers must be to consolidate the different areas of British South Africa into one nation. Although unification will be initially put, what do you think the European Union is, folks? What do you think that is? It's an attempt to destroy the white nations of Europe and force them into race mixing, which is exactly what George Soros, the Henry Kissinger of our day, and his boss, Rothschild, have been doing through their open society foundations, channeling billions of dollars to anti-white groups, to violent terrorist groups, whose only purpose is to destroy white civilization. Continuing, although unification will be initially put to the Boers into political control of the entire South Africa, it will ironically eventually lead to their final downfall. All right, this is Sir Alfred Milner. So here we have evidence that this is a conspiracy. We're going to suck the Boers in order to subvert them. 7.6. This was, of course, precisely what happened, but not until a new name had been developed for the new nation, which Milner spoke about. They could not continue to call the new nation a Boer state because the Boers had been subjugated. They could not call it a Cape Dutch state, as the Dutch colonialists were now British colonialists, and they could not call it a British state for obvious reasons. How about a Jewish state, or an Edomite state, or a Freemasonic state? The answer then was to give a general term to all white inhabitants of the new union, Afrikaners. Although the word originally meant African, it was politicized by a group of Cape Dutch propagandists under one S.J. du Toit in 1880. The same year, the Boers took up arms to fight the British colonialists. In literature of the time, it was then decided to try and blend the Boers into the Cape Dutch and English-speaking white populations, but calling them all Afrikaners instead of referring to their real ethnic bases. Okay? This is what Pastor Martens has been telling us all for the last 4 years here on Eurofolk Radio. In fact, Pastor Martens didn't even realize he was a Boer until he looked into his ancestry and realized the difference between Boers and Afrikaners, and then finally realized that the Afrikaners were the primary enemies of the Boer people. 7.7. This then is how the world began to hear of Afrikaners, although only 80 years ago there was no such word in the international vocabulary. Neither was there such a thing as a Gentile in the Old and New Testaments. By forcing the Boers into the Union of South Africa, the British made them co-responsible for the policy of racial segregation, which had, of course, been established and legislated by the British colonial government. And they allowed the Boer people to take all the flak and all the blame. 7.9. The new Afrikaners, in fact, a coalition of Cape Dutch, English-speaking whites, and some Boers, tried as best they could to come to grips with the racial and geographic legacy left to them from the British colonial times. And it was from this disaster that the policy of apartheid was developed. And so today, all whites now are being blamed, but especially the Boer people, and especially the Boer people are the victims of black on white violence today, with Boer farmers. Up to 70,000 Boer farmers having been ruthlessly murdered since the ANC regime began in 1994. This is the paradise of racial bliss and cooperation prophesied by Nelson Mandela, the commie terrorist. When will our people wake up and stop believing Jewish and communist lies? When will our people wake up and stop believing Jewish and communist lies? 7.10. It is of supreme importance to note here that the Boers were dragged unwillingly into the Union of South Africa, and at the first opportunity which presented itself, they tried to extricate themselves by force of arms. This was the unsuccessful 1914 Boer Rebellion, which ended when some Boer War era generals were killed or imprisoned by the pro-British Union of South Africa government. The Boers have been the most oppressed people on the face of the earth ever since the Cape Dutch started charging them for their passage and stealing their goods from them and forcing them to flee north and east. 7.11. It is thus unfair of the international world to regard the Boers as having been responsible for what happened in South Africa during the second part of the 20th century. The Boers were just as much victims of the colonial powers as were any other indigenous people of Africa. Okay. And this is from The Boers of Southern Africa by Arthur Kemp. Very good. So let me now go back to the original article. Let me scroll up here. Afrikaner is a code word for Jew. I love it. I love it. Thank you for verifying what Pastor Martins has been teaching us all along. Okay. Are Afrikaner roots British or are they Yiddish? British or Yiddish? Well, it's British Yiddish. And here's a photograph of Jacob Zuma. Afrikaners are the only white African tribe, according to Jacob Zuma. So the Boers don't count? Cultural appropriation, anybody? Cultural appropriation? The liberals should be dismayed at this obvious instance of cultural appropriation. On the 2nd April 2009, at a meeting in Johannesburg between representatives of various Afrikaner organizations and current ANC President Jacob Zuma, the man who became South Africa's next president after the April 22 election said, "Of all the white groups that are in South Africa, it is only the Afrikaners that are truly South Africans in the true sense of the word." Even though the Boers were there first? Up to this day, they, the Afrikaners, don't carry two passports, they carry one. They are here to stay. So, according to Jacob Zuma, he has no prejudice against British Yiddish immigrants. It's only truly white Germanic immigrants, the Boer people. Quote, "It is the only white tribe in the Black Continent or outside of Europe which is truly African, the Afrikaner." Now, of course, that's a blatant lie. It's obviously a blatant lie, but he's a tool of the Rothschilds. What are the problems with this statement? The problems are dual citizen Afrikaner Israeli Jews carry two passports, not most Boers. And Boers are fleeing for their lives at the moment. Fortunately, Russia is accepting them. Zuma is lying to us. Why would he mention two passports? Another problem is a lot of Afrikaners are not purely white. Right? A lot of Afrikaners are white-looking mixed-race Jews. Ho ho. I should name names, but I won't for now. Oh, come on, please. I want to hear the names. For too long, I've been hearing these Afrikaner Jews involved in politics, mainstream, and alternative media trying to pass themselves off as the victims of South African white genocide while they ignore the real victim, the Boer. Mr. de Heuet says, I've had enough. When the Boers arrived in South Africa, they revolted against the Jew-owned Dutch East India Company, migrated northeast, and founded their own nation. In typical Jew fashion, these crypto-Jew Afrikaners followed them, systematically infiltrated, inverted, and perverted yet another white nation and the truth. Very well said. I'm going to set the record straight once and for all. These crypto Jew Afrikaners crying white genocide are not white and have infiltrated the white Afrikaner community. The only reason they are crying white genocide is because they appear white to the untrained Negro eye and other eyes, and even white eyes, and are sometimes caught in the crossfires of the real white Boer genocide taking place in South Africa that these Afrikaners started in the first place. Well, if you're going to impersonate somebody, you're likely to take the flak that you have actually dished out against them, against the people you are impersonating. Well, the Jews are willing to take that risk, and certainly the Oberjuden have no compunction about putting their own people in harm's way. And some of them do get killed. Surprise, surprise. Okay? If there's any Jews listening, please be aware that the Oberjuden don't give a hoot about your life. You're expendable to them. Totally expendable. And they will eliminate you whenever they feel there's a good false flag coming up. And Jews will be caught in a crossfire. Thank you very much. So he asks the question. Oh, wait a minute. Actually, I went too far. I see the word Mossad and Kahila. Don't want to pass that up. There are a lot of quote-unquote Afrikaners within politics, law, corporations, the medical field, religious institutions, and the media, who are crypto-Jew, double agent spies and or psionim, working for the Mossad and Kahila. Kahila is the cabal of Jews that rule the world, and especially over all other Jewish organizations, the top dog Oberjuden, to further the agenda of a Jew world order government, which includes the genocide of Boer folk and all white people in South Africa, and I would add all over the world. How many Boers are in these positions of power? I don't know of very many, if any, at all. Okay, so the Boers have been frozen out of their own nation. Their own nations have been stolen from them by these crypto-Jews, and the Boer people are blamed for everything wrong with South Africa. And the Jew cronies, the Freemasons, the Judeo churches, they all get a pass. But it's the truly white people of South Africa who are forced to bear the brunt of all of this evil and subterfuge. He continues, and it is very important my South African Boer folk and so-called white Afrikaners understand this. In case you don't know who the Kahila and Sayanam are, read the article I wrote about them. The Kahila and Sayanam by William D. Hewitt. I think I'll save this for next week. It looks really good. Here's a picture of Frederick William de Klerk, NWO, that's New World Order frontman, conspirator, and Judas horse for the IMF, which is exactly what Pastor Martins has been telling you about de Klerk. Even though I believe he was assassinated. But again, the Jews will kill their own. And they'll kill their own agents. Just to make themselves look good. See, here one of our agents has been assassinated. Because he certainly didn't turn tail against them. They just figured he was no longer useful to them and they got rid of him. The Jews and the communists do this all the time. Under the paid control of Chester Crocker, the CIA, and the New York Jewry, the deal was cut. The conspirators keep control of the money. The ANC anarchists, no, communists, get the country. By deception and treason, he, Pik Botha, and the rest of the CODESA conspirators handed South Africa in a Titanic false flag operation on a platter to the ANC communists, and reeled in the white citizens by lies and false promises to be dehumanized, oppressed, alienated, impoverished, and slaughtered like sheep by communist ANC and their masters in a silent white genocide that was to follow after 1994 until today. So, folks, is there any doubt that the ANC was put into power by the International Jew and the International Communists and the Freemasons and the CIA and the Mossad in order to slowly genocide the Boer people. There can no longer be any doubt. This is the fact. Continuing. It was a crypto Jew Afrikaner, F.W. de Klerk, in power in 1994, who gave Boer South Africa away to the Negro. Unfortunately, many uninformed Boers and white folk who identify themselves as Afrikaner here in South Africa, mere white guilted, were white guilted into going along with giving our nation away. Well, they were promised, give rule to the blacks and it'll be paradise on earth. Just as Barack Obama promised, a racial, multicultural paradise. Just as LBJ promised a multiracial paradise. Any evidence of this paradise, folks? On the contrary, terrorism, rape, murder, etc., have escalated out of control while the Democrats under LBJ have taken over. And there's no end in sight. You must listen to us here at Eurofolk Radio. This is a race war. And if you're white, there's a target on your chest and on your back and on your head. These sinister Jews and their powerful organizations, the ADL, SPLC, there are hundreds, probably 700 organizations, Jewish organizations, registered in America alone to subvert our nation. And because they own the media assists them 100%. These are the folk I associate with, the Boer folk. There were many Boer folk who were not fooled and resisted, but lost the battle. Okay, folks, are we white people going to allow this to happen in America? Are we going to allow this? They're doing everything possible to shut us up. Everything possible. And since they have slammed the door to internet contributions to Eurofolk Radio, I am simply going to ask you for your prayers. We know that we have, especially those of you in the chat room, we have your spiritual support. At this point, I would simply ask you to pray for Eurofolk Radio, pray for myself, David James, Pastor Steve, all the rest of us here at Eurofolk Radio. And do imprecatory prayer against these Jew-owned corporations, against the shills who attack Eurofolk Radio. And let the light of truth shine down onto the white race so that they can finally wake up. Have the scales drop from their eyes and see reality, see the Jewish reality, that they live and are the Nephilim from the Old Testament in shoe leather, even yet today. Go to the Psalms of David and read those imprecatory prayers, and then put your own voice in there. In that prayer, and ask Yahweh to come and intervene on behalf of the Boer people, the white people who are being raped and murdered around the world by this Jew-orchestrated white genocide. There is no other way to put it. It's a Jew-orchestrated white genocide. And the only reason the vast majority of white people don't know it is because the Jews own the mass media and are the world's greatest censorship machine. That's what they are. They are a censorship machine. But the wheels are beginning to come off the Censorship Express. as even black people are becoming aware of the fact that the Democratic Party does not represent their interests, is simply using them to exploit their votes. Sanctuary cities, in which many blacks have been killed by illegal aliens. And the word is getting around in the black community. Hey, wait a minute. Sanctuary cities don't benefit Africans who were born here, blacks who were born here. How does that help us? Barack Obama, what have you done for the black community? Can you count to zero? Nothing? The hashtag walkaway movement features many videos done by blacks saying exactly that, that Barack Obama is a liar and a con artist who has done nothing for the black community. These people, guess what, are going to vote for Donald Trump. They're going to vote for Donald Trump. So the con game orchestrated by the Jews is beginning to fall apart. Now we pray that white people finally begin to wake up. Another good thing that's happening is that the Communist Colleges of America, the LGBT, soy boys and flakes and liberals and feminists and commies, they are so brainwashed that they can't tell the difference between night and day. That's how brainwashed they are. But these universities are losing funding because white males are no longer attending them. Imagine that. A white male not wanting to go to a university that bashes him constantly day after day. Imagine that. And as these people leave these left-wing think tanks, these left-wing propaganda mills called universities and colleges, they wake up. They wake up. The brainwashing stops. The worst thing you could possibly do is send your child to a public school. That's the absolute worst thing you can do. They will turn your children into clenched fist pumping communists. Your daughters will be turned into sluts, whores, and communists. That's what these universities do, folks. And he also mentions these in the article here. Most, not all, of the so-called white Afrikaners are whitewashed liberal types who follow Jew politics, Jew religions, i.e. Jesus, Christian sanity. Hell, Afrikaners follow and push all anti-Boer, anti-natural law, anti-Aryan, Afrikaner Jew philosophies. It looks like a duck. Walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. It's a Jew. They may as well be Jews themselves. Thank you very much, Mr. DeHewitt. You're preaching the Eurofolk radio philosophy. That's right, I said it. Some of these white-looking Afrikaner crypto-Jews are being mistaken for the Boer by the savage Negro and are being slaughtered. Good for them. So now, and as Pastor Steve and I reported on the last issue of Fake News Now, we see that Jews are no longer pretending to be white because too many Jews are being caught in the crossfire, the very crossfire that they have stage managed, well, ever since the Civil War. And include World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and all the world's major conflicts. They're Jew banker wars. They're not wars of white nationalism. They're banker wars, Jew banker wars. And they have resulted in the greatest white genocide of all time, including communism. Hundreds of millions of our people have been slaughtered by this Jew-inspired politics of divide and conquer. Divide and conquer between the Judeo-capitalists, the richest of the rich, who have always financed the Judeo-communists, the instigators of Soviet-style revolution. Those of us who have been teaching this in Christian identity for decades, we know the score. And when I began writing The Great Impersonation in 1979, I realized that it was going to be an uphill battle to convince my fellow whites that the Jew is behind all of this evil. When I published The Great Impersonation in 2003, it made enemies for me immediately. Just as Pastor Andrew Carrington Hitchcock has had his work removed from online, so has mine been censored. Although my book, The Great Impersonation, doesn't sell enough copies for Amazon to worry about. We're just going to have to figure out our own way of getting our material to the general public. So that's the story for today, folks. The political Negro in power knows the difference between the crypto Jew Afrikaner and the Boer. Of course, the blacks on the street don't know it. So the little Jew gets caught in the crossfire. So it's about time white folk around the world know the difference too. Well, I see that many of the writers are in the mainstream press even are picking up our terminology, the terminology that we in Christian Identity have been using for 50 years, if not longer. Many of you realize that I ascribe the beginning of the Christian Identity movement to none other than Henry Ford and his book, The International Jew, because there was a strong British Israel presence here in America, but it was Christian Identity that identified the Jew as the enemy. And not as the tribe of Judah. So more and more people are beginning to figure this out, and we here at Eurofolk Radio are determined to carry this out to the bitter end. We will never stop fighting against the perfidious Jew and their communist, feminist, slut, degenerate, Hollywood, porn-producing, abortion killer, reprobates, and unhumans. Inhumans is what they are. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Stay tuned to EFR and tell everybody you know about it. Thanks. Bye-bye.